Welcome to the Get Cyber Smart podcast, your 7 to 10 minute educational look into this crazy thing we call cyber. I am your host, retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Darren Mott. And in this episode, we talk about protecting the most vulnerable among us, specifically our seniors. So happy Christmas week, everybody. This is episode 15 of the Get Cyber Smart podcast. And like I said, in this episode, we're going to talk about some protection items. Up to this point, I've kind of given a background in certain areas and certain points of interest when it comes to cyber. And so I want to spend the next two episodes talking about protecting the most vulnerable among us. Those are going to be our seniors and our kids. This episode is going to deal specifically with protecting seniors or the elderly because they are the number one targeted group online. Largely, that's for a variety of reasons, which we'll discuss in this podcast. This particular podcast is not on YouTube because there is another video I did regarding this topic on YouTube. You can go find that there. It's going to be similar information, but this is, if you're just going to listen to the podcast, this is your best option for that. So we want to talk about protecting seniors, like I said, because they are the top victim group when it comes to cybercrime statistics. Now, keep in mind, the statistics I'm about to read are somewhat limited in that it's only information regarding people who have reported crimes. You can probably assume that there is a whole lot more crime against seniors than we are going to be talking about here. So there was a 2020 cyber report from the FBI that went through a whole bunch of different cybercrime types. And so one of the charts on that particular report was victims by age group. And if you look at total loss of all victims across the age ranges from under 20 to over 60, the amount of loss is roughly almost $2-3 billion. But if you look at the age group of 50 to 59, the total number of victims in 2020 were 85,967 for a loss of $847,948. Over 60, there were 105,301 victims for a total loss of $966 million. So those two by themselves account for about $1.8 billion, more than half of the total loss due to cybercrime. Oh, apologies there. You heard a little bit of my, I did not have my phone on mute there. So apologies there. But so if we look at the cybercrime types, so there are a variety of different crime types that victims fall underneath. For the elderly, it's largely confidence fraud or romance fraud. They you know, obviously seniors, especially if they're widows or widowers, are looking for romance like anybody else. And a lot of times they find it online and scammers know this is the case. And so they target them. The amount of loss from romance scams in 2020 was roughly $600 million. Then you have typical identity theft, real estate and rental fraud. You know, seniors have, in most cases, are retirees. They've done the right things. They have a lot of money tied up in a variety of different investment options. And so the bad guys are looking at ways to target and get access to that money. Real estate fraud, rental fraud is certainly one of those things. Tech support, this is where you get an email or a phone call saying that your phone or your computer has been hacked and call this number to get it fixed. Government impersonation, so you know, you've probably all gotten the email, or I'm sorry, the phone call where they say that there's a warrant out for your arrest because you owe money to the IRS or something like that. So, you know, that's $110 million loss. Lottery sweepstakes, inheritance fraud. This is where you get an email that says you won a lottery. There's a lot of scam from that. I had a lady came to me when I was the supervisor of the cyber squad in Cleveland. And she had been a victim of a lottery scam, and she had ultimately, before someone actually stopped her from continuing to send money to the scammers, was out $200,000 at the end of the day. And then there's charity scam, and there's a host of other things. So obviously, there is a lot of different scam types that the elderly will tend to fall for because there's a reason they are targeted by scammers. The key reasons being they are generally more financially stable. Obviously, it's not always the case. I'm not trying to paint a broad brush here. But for the most part, seniors are generally retirees. They have investment funds, things like that. They are less cyber aware. They didn't grow up in the cyber age, especially if they're over 60 or even over 70 or things like that. Some are. I'm not saying they are all that case, but for the most part, There is certainly a group that is just not cyber savvy. They have computers, they have phones, but they rely on their family members to keep those things updated, to, you know, inform them of what the scams are. So that's why it's very important that if you're listening to this particular podcast, you share it with as many people as you can so that they can help protect their elderly relatives from becoming one of these victims in 2021 or 2022, if you will. They are more trusting. They tend to believe more that they hear online. I know that one of the frauds targeted by my mother, a couple of things that are targeting my mother. Medicare fraud's a big one. I didn't talk about that in the first one. That seems to be a huge one. Well, a lot of it's still just online phone scamming, where they're trying to get you to log into websites to do things, to give up personal identifiable information so that the bad guys can commit wire fraud or things like that. But obviously they're trusting, so it's up to you as a family member to help them understand these threats, understand the risks targeting them, so they can continue to act, to work online, to do what they need to do online in a safe and capable way. And you know, seniors are more likely to answer the phone. Now, why are phones cyber crimes? Well, largely it's because the bad guys are using technology to do voice over IP phone calls that block the actual location of the bad guy. You've all gotten these phone calls that look like they come from the zip code, or I'm sorry, the area code that your phone is registered to. My phone is registered in a 704 area code. That's in Charlotte, North Carolina. I used to live there back in the early 2000s. I now live in Alabama, which is a 256 area code, yet I get a lot of 704 calls because the bad guys are basically spamming that entire area code phone list, looking for people to answer the phone to try to get them to fall for any of these numbers of scam. And so if you remember, you know, we said seniors are more trusting, more likely to answer the phone. That is a recipe for disaster if they actually answer the phone and go through and actually talk to someone and get scammed out of their money or their personal information, things like that. So how do you protect seniors from becoming cyber victims? And I should point out, this is a very quick look at this problem. This is not a lengthy look at the problem, just a quick generalization, again, 7 to 10 minutes to give you an understanding of the threat. My goal here ultimately is to build larger classes that go into more depth on this to help protect seniors down the line. And I'd really appreciate feedback if you think that's something that would be valuable. And we'll talk about my email at the end. So you know, the key to how you protect your senior relatives from becoming cyber victims is provide them with examples of current scams. Talk about the technical support scams. Talk about the romance scams, the payment scams, real estate scams, all of that stuff. Make sure they are using strong and distinct passwords and multi-factor authentication. I know this can be difficult because it's very hard for them to remember all their passwords. There are plenty of ways to help seniors have a password list. They don't have to use a file on their phone for that. They can write down their passwords. Now, don't tape it up next to your monitor, but store it somewhere, maybe store it in a safe so that if they need a password, they can store it in a safe. I know my in-laws keep some of their passwords on an index card that they have access to, so that, because it's hard to remember them all. It's hard for me to remember them all. Now, I use an app on my phone, but that's just because it's easier for me. So for some of these older folks, then you want to make sure that they at least have it written down so that when you have to go in and, you know, fix an account or change a password to an account that's been locked or something like that, you have the capability to do that. Share the PDF elder fraud from IC3.gov. So if you go to IC3.gov, that is the FBI's online complaint portal. If you go there, there is a PDF called Elder Fraud. It kind of talks a lot about the stuff I'm talking here, but it's a very good 2-page PDF that you can print out and put right on the refrigerator so that they see what these things are, and it gives them an understanding of what the threats are out there that are targeting them from a cyber perspective and keeps them safe. What do you do if, now here's the key, what do you do if someone becomes a victim? If one of your senior relatives becomes a victim, the key thing is to report it. If you keep it quiet, that helps no one. Now, is there a guarantee if they've sent money or lost it, they'll get it back? No, not necessarily. But if you report it to IC3.gov, which there's a complaint portal on that website, again, this is the FBI's online complaint portal, the Internet Crime Complaint Center.gov, IC3, it will at least give the FBI intelligence, it helps them understand what the scams are. So if there's a new kind of scam, they can understand, or they'll know what it is and be able to post information about, hey, here's a new type of scam targeting elders or seniors that has to do with whatever. Also good to contact local law enforcement. Now, local law enforcement in a lot of areas, a lot of places don't have cybercrime squads, but more are starting to have that. So it's important to let them know as well, because same reason. If seniors are being targeted in a specific area, local law enforcement can put out a bulletin that says, be aware of this particular scam. You've probably seen that on the news yourself. So it's important, again, to report these issues. It may be embarrassing, but it's better to report it than not. Keep any evidence you have. Keep emails, because law enforcement may want that information just, again, to get more intelligence off the email. There's a lot of information in what are called email headers that give intelligence as to where the emails originate, things like that. Now, if the scammer knows what he's doing, it's probably not a whole lot of useful information, but sometimes, you know, scammers are not overly great on operational security, and you might be able to get some good information there. This includes, you know, phone numbers, email addresses, anything that's useful that you think law enforcement may have some information or may have some need in. Invest in identity theft protection. Now, you can do this yourself. You can go and you can basically go to all three credit bureaus and based on a social security number, make it impossible for anyone to open credit in that social security number. Now, if you then need the credit, then you have to go back and undo it. So that's a little more challenging. But if you're afraid to do that, or you're not sure how to do that, then certain identity theft protection like Identity Guard, LifeLock, things like that are probably good to invest in just for some peace of mind. Now, keep in mind, they are nothing more than monitoring services. So, you know, if you get hacked, they're not going to stop the hack per se. If you answer the phone and give away your personal information, it may be too late by the time they notice that thing happened. But again, still important to think about doing that if it's the cheaper and easier way to at least add some additional protection to your senior or your elder relatives. And like I said, notify financial institutions if you think any kind of fraud has occurred, because they can reverse charges. They can look for odd activity. Things like that. More information is available at a website called staysafeonline.org. It's called What to Do If You Are a Victim of Cybercrime. It's a PDF. You can go find it there. And again, share that along with the elder fraud PDF with your more senior relatives. If you have any questions or thoughts or feedback on this or any other Get Cyber Smart episode, feel free to email me, Darren@cybersmart.com. Next week, we're going to talk about protecting your kids. So that's how we're going to ride into 2022, is with protecting the most vulnerable among us. As always, I greatly appreciate you taking the time to download and listen to these podcasts, to look at my videos on YouTube, and to send me any feedback that you have. Know that knowledge is protection. If you get a little cyber smarter, you are going to get a whole lot cyber safer. As you go into your week, understand the threats that are targeting you, assess your risk, make sure you proceed wisely, keep your senior relatives safe, have a safe and happy new year, and we will talk to you soon.